It's a tarda un poquito. It's counterintuitive.
Sí, claro.
Pressing the wrong one.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Jaime Gonzalez. I'm a graduate of the University of North Texas Health Science Center, a recent graduate. I just graduated with my doctorate from the Department of Health Management and Policy. My interest is Latino Health, because that's what I do for a living. I'm the National Director for Latino Health Solutions from United Healthcare. And it's a pleasure today to be with you to present some research that I did as part of my dissertation, one aspect of it, with my committee, Dr. Christine Likens, Dr. Sangjung Bae, Dr. Sue Leary, and Dr. Robert Kamen. And we're all at the University of North Texas Health Science Center, School of Public Health, Department of Health Management and Policy. To give you a little bit about the background and the introduction of why we chose this population, one, because of my own personal interest, and two, because Latinos, Hispanos, and I'll use the words interchangeably for the purpose of this presentation, I'm referring to the same group, but I will say there are differences of the use of the terminology depending on who you're addressing. But for the purpose, if you hear me say Hispano or Hispanic, I'm referring to the same group of people for the purpose of this presentation. We did a secondary data analysis using Greenwald's 2001 health insurance coverage among working Latinos in California. We chose the Latino population, obviously, for the impact that it's having in the United States and being the largest uninsured group of making up at least 33% of the uninsured in the U.S. Obviously, as most of you know, we are the largest and fastest growing ethnic minority group in the U.S., representing numerous races and ethnicities. If you watch Soledad O'Brien, and I had the opportunity to meet Soledad O'Brien and talk to her about her book, she used the number 51 million rather than 47 million where you hear most of the time, representing about 16% of the U.S. population, or basically one out of six people is of Latino descent. In the state where I come from, Texas, we're almost half of the population in that state. Unfortunately, we're the largest uninsured. And if you look at Texas, where I'm from, we make up a majority of the uninsured, as well as in California. And if you think about health disparities in the Latino community, some of the things that contribute to that, obviously lack of health insurance is right there at the top. In addition, poverty, the socioeconomic factors that contribute, lower levels of educational attainment, employment in industries that don't provide full-time work, that provide seasonal work, and that don't provide health insurance benefits. And if you compare non-Latino whites, when we compare Latinos to non-Latino whites, Latinos are more likely to experience lack of adequate access to care and a number of socioeconomic barriers, underemployed, unemployed, part-time employment, and little to no health insurance coverage. Obviously, language and culture is a big part of understanding the Latino experience when it relates to healthcare and interacting with the healthcare system. Healthcare professionals who don't understand our culture, who don't understand our language, who don't understand how we perceive health and how we look at health is a major contributing factor. If you also look at the Institute of Medicine 2003, they indicate that the lack of health insurance coverage is the single most significant barrier to accessing healthcare in the U.S. So think of that for us as Latinos, where the impact is that much greater if 33% of us, or one out of three of us, is uninsured. Some other factors that contribute to this is obviously working in industries that don't provide, or working in positions that don't provide us full-time employment. If you had many Latinos that I work with and talk to when I go out and do presentations on behalf of our company to try to help to ensure through their employers, if you look at the Latinos, they say we work multiple part-time jobs, more than a 40-hour week in 1 week. But because they work at so many pieces of a job, if you will, they're not provided health insurance. Sorry, I went the wrong way. The data, let's take a look at the data that we used. Again, it was from Greenwald's study, health insurance coverage among working Latinos in 2001. It was a telephone survey of 1,000 working Latinos in California. The purpose of the study was to understand why Latinos in California frequently lack health insurance. And the survey asked respondents about their health status, access to care. It also asked about the types of coverage they have, the utilization of the coverage, and several other social and demographic They also asked about, they had some questions about satisfaction with the insurance products and programs that they were using, the types of services, and a variety of socioeconomic factors were also addressed. Uninsured respondents were also asked why they didn't have insurance and whether or not their employer offered it or they had the opportunity to buy it or purchase it, either by themselves or through their employer or through a spouse. We also, the survey also looked at their attitudes, looking at control of one's fate as that impacts their purchase of insurance, interest in obtaining routine care checkups, and attitudes about health insurance versus, you know, good versus poor in terms of their purchase and use of health insurance. And like I said, it was a telephone survey. To tell you a little bit about the sample, 70% of this sample was insured in some form or fashion. They either had employer-sponsored, government-sponsored, or they purchased it themselves. Approximately 58% of the respondents were U.S. citizens. And of those, about 78% were of Mexican descent. Approximately 60% of the respondents had some high school or less, and about 63% were male, primarily between the ages of 26 and 45. Half of the survey was married, and the two largest industries represented in the survey, because the survey had, there were even, you know, you had from blue collar, you had administrative type, you had office type personnel, as all the way up to PhD in the survey, right? The majority were in this categories, retail, trades, and manufacturing, representing about 57%. So the purpose of the study was to investigate the relationship between the years of U.S. residency and health insurance coverage type, again, employer-sponsored, government-sponsored, self-purchased, no insurance, and among working Latinos in California. And we wanted to specifically look at the impact of years of U.S. residency had on determining their take-up of health insurance. Then we looked at other important demographic variables. The dependent variable was categorized, as I previously mentioned, and the independent variables, some of the others we looked at, U.S. residency, citizenship, Hispanic ancestry, educational level, marital status, household income, employment industry, hours worked per week, and union membership or affiliation. We used descriptive statistics using Mantel Hansel Chi Square. Multinomial regression was employed to analyze the relationships between the independent variables and the dependent variables across all categories of the dependent variable. We applied sample weights to our analysis, and we used SPSS to conduct our analysis. So let's talk a little bit about the results. What did we find? We found that if you were a working immigrant Latino in 2001 and less than 5 years of U.S. residency, you were less likely to be enrolled in any government program, which kind of dispels the myth that people say that Latinos come to the United States to get on government programs. This says that they don't. That's what we found. These findings are also consistent with other research that demonstrates that as immigrants acculturate into U.S. culture, their consumption of government programs and health insurance approximates mainstream people living and working in the United States. So more years of acculturation, right? The analysis also demonstrates that there is a significant association between employment industry and health insurance coverage. That means there's, in certain industries that Latinos work in, they're more likely to get health insurance. So in particular, if you look at retail trades and you look at construction, 42 and 53% of the population were more likely to have insurance. However, in the manufacturing industry that had the highest rates of employer-sponsored health insurance, still a third of them had no health insurance. The results also demonstrate that union affiliation, there is a strong association of union affiliation. Almost three, one of the respondents had membership in a union, they were almost three times as likely to have health insurance coverage. And we know because what unions do and what historically what unions have done for its membership. The results also indicate that there's a strong association between hours worked per week and health insurance coverage, kind of like what I said at the beginning. If we're working multiple part-time half-time seasonal jobs were less likely to have insurance. If we're working a full-time 40-hour per week job, if we can get into those jobs, we're more likely to get health insurance. The study also examined Latinos' employees' take-up of self-purchased. Again, as you become more acculturated, you're more likely to buy. If you don't get it from anywhere, you're more likely to buy it. Because you learned, there were some of the questions in the survey that looked at valuing health insurance coverage. When you learn the value of it, because you come from a country that might have a national healthcare system, which most Latin American countries are like that, then you come to the United States where it's employer-sponsored, and you're like, what? They're doing what? I mean, I'm telling you what I from my own job, what I experienced. They're saying, what is this? And they're doing what with us? And, you know, I have Seguro Social. Shouldn't I have it? Si soy Mexicano, we have Seguro Social, and that's how we access care, right? So this whole experience, as you acculturate, you learn the customs, you learn the ways of life in the United States, and you become more acclimated, if you will, to health insurance. I want to talk a little bit about the implications for policy and practice because I graduated from the Department of Health Management and Policy, and some of the recommendations that we're making, especially as health reform is on the front burner right now, and it's an opportunity to really push for some of this. But we believe, we, the team that researched this, that there needs to be some expansion of employer-sponsored health insurance coverage to allow Latino employees to be able to better access, especially in those industries where we are more likely to be employed. We're talking about things like tax incentives to the employer to help them insure that group that was more likely not to have the insurance. That's just, if you look at the second bullet, incentives to small business employers to offer coverage and to cover the entire family. We know as Hispanics, we don't live in just mom, dad, and kids. It's mom, dad, tios, abuelos, you know, everyone in the same household. And I know because I came from a very large family. So we know that this is very, very important. When we're looking at government programs, we have to look at what, and it's unfortunate, you know, and I agree with what Doctora was saying earlier, a lot of the things that have happened to us as Hispanics. I'm of Mexican descent. My father was an immigrant, and he was naturalized. You know, so I know some of that experience because we'd always go down to the frontera to go see our family. We'd always go down to the border. Excuse me, I go back and forth in Spanish all the time. We'd go down to the border and to Mexico to go visit our families. And some that didn't have their papers who could not come. And the experience is we need government programs that include, for sure, the individuals who are citizens. You see legislation now that's trying to exclude. In fact, I was talking to someone at one of the breaks that, you know, there's laws that they're excluding even people who are citizens from getting programs. You know, that's intolerable. It's unfortunate to the individuals who need the care. They're here. It's a public health issue. They're citizens for those of the children of the immigrants. Obviously, lower cost options are needed, and we're talking about tiers of, for example, like the exchange where people can at least purchase. You know, there's things on the books right now that they're saying don't even let them purchase. That's ludicrous. Why would you not allow someone to purchase, you know? So that's very, very important. Incorporation of community-based and safety net providers. And what we're looking at here is that in health insurance programs, sometimes these agencies and organizations are not included as part of a network of providers. Well, we know from research and what we've, even what I do for a living at my company, is that Hispanics, even if they have insurance, they're more likely to still go to these community-based, La Clínica Guadalupana, for example, the clinic to Our Lady of Guadalupe, for example. They're more likely to go to these clinics even though they're not part of the network because they feel safe and they feel it's a place that they're used to. So we feel that it's important. We definitely believe that immigrants should be covered. And if they're not, then more the reason to you know, support these safety net providers that are providing the care. It's unfortunate that even in some states, like the state that I'm from, you see that even in certain counties, the county that I'm from, I live in Fort Worth, Tarrant County. At some time ago, the public hospital, John Peter Smith Hospital, chose to exclude immigrants from primary care. They can come in for emergency care, but they chose to exclude, which made no sense. You know, the more costly is the emergency room and the triaging of patients through that system. Needless to say, that CEO of that health system is no longer there. But, you know, it's very important because several of the churches got together to say this is inappropriate, you know, this is not right. It's not justice for the community, for the immigrant community in North Texas. Another very important aspect of all of this is culturally relevant and linguistically accurate care, program services and et al. What I have seen in my work, what I do for my company, is that when we connect with Latinos, Hispanos, in a way that is culturally relevant to them, that we can bring in programs that are in language, they will comply. We will comply. We understand better how to navigate the system by giving us tools that educate us and improve our health literacy. That's what this last bullet is talking about, is that there is a strong need for these types of programs. And any insurance program that may be legislated, that is government-sponsored or employer-sponsored, and that's one of the things that I do for a living, is I design those programs for our clients. So this is key, I believe, to helping Latinos be getting more Latinos insured and to helping Latinos Hispanos to better understand how to navigate a very complicated healthcare system in the United States and to get some type, if you will, of hopefully culturally relevant and linguistically accurate care. Thank you very much. Yeah.